Before today's episode, there is another podcast that I think you should listen to. It is called The Great Man Within, and the hosts tackle problems that men never talk about but secretly struggle with, like sex, purpose, and success. Tune in to The Great Man Within on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
80% of the thoughts we experience every day are negative. What are we hypnotizing ourselves to believe? We're not good enough. We're not capable enough, smart enough, good enough, pretty enough, capable enough, whatever. Whether or not that's true doesn't matter, but if we believe it as if it's true, if we focus on that, that will be the experience and the reality we create for ourselves. And that's why so many people don't reach their full potential, because they let themselves get hypnotized by their own doubts and limitations.
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
Told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up,
use their voice,
and make an impact in this world.
Are you hypnotized by your own fear? My friends, I am so pumped for today's episode because I had the honor of connecting with Zach Pinsent, who is a wildly popular hypnotist right now on social media. And we're talking about all things hypnosis and how we can apply that to our own lives. Now, at 24 years old, Zach has already built a following of millions of followers on platforms like TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, and travels all over performing on stage, sharing the power of hypnosis. Now, it goes much deeper than just making somebody believe that they're Beyonce, right? Zach shares with us about the power of our minds and how he's not controlling our minds, but allowing us to see the power of our own minds, giving us control of our minds. Today, we talk about why failing has made him so successful, why we are so often paralyzed and, quote, hypnotized by our own fears and limitations. And Zach lets us in on a little secret about hypnosis. This was such a fun episode. Make sure you take a screenshot and tag both Zach and I at Heather Parody and at Zach Pinsent on all the social media platforms. And listen, when you hear this and you have a question, we're going to be doing something really fun. We're going to do a part two to this interview. So all you have to do is go over to Facebook and put in Unconventional Leaders. There's a private Facebook group over there, amazing human beings. And we're going to have a post where you have an opportunity to submit questions to Zach, and he may just answer them on our next Q&A episode that we're going to record here in just a couple of weeks. I learned so much. This was so much fun. Let's get into this incredible interview all about hypnosis. Hey guys, connecting with Zach Pinsent for the very first time, and I'm so excited because, friends, listen, he is a hypnotist. You heard me correctly. If you are a skeptic, tune in, lean into this. If you're all about it like I am, then I know you're going to enjoy this conversation. Zach, I'm so honored to have you on. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about the world of hypnosis, and whether your listeners know anything or nothing about it, there's going to be a lot of value from this conversation. So get ready. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah. And I almost started telling you this before we hit record, but I thought I'd save it. I actually got into like a serious debate with a professor, like in front of the whole class once in grad school, because he was saying hypnotism is not real. It's not real. There's no data to prove it and all this. And I had nothing to back up with it. There was no way that I didn't understand it myself, but I knew deep down, I'm like, there's no way all these people are faking this. And there's some validity to it. Zach, when you tell people what you do, what is the response you normally get?
So the response is almost always, wait, is that really real? Like, wait, that's really what you do? Is that really real? And I'll always joke with people. I'll say, no, it's actually completely fake and I'm a professional fraud, but you've exposed me. You're the first person to get me. So people always wonder because they're skeptical. And most people, the only exposure they have to hypnosis is what they see on TV or what they see in the movies. And that hypnosis is this mind control manipulation where you're now a slave zombie to my suggestions and you're helpless and powerless to any of your own wills or desires because I am now controlling you, which is, of course, not real. Mind control does not exist. But hypnosis is not me controlling somebody. I tell people hypnosis is less mind control and me more giving you more control over your mind. But when people think hypnosis is fake, I say, yes, fake hypnosis is fake because that's just on TV and it's for the dramatized movies and shows or however they want to make it up to look scary and cool. But hypnosis is a real thing, but it simply has to do with how we shift and create beliefs in our own mind. Because the way that the human mind works psychologically is that when the mind believes something as if it's true, with complete, total conviction, zero doubt, absolute certainty, it accepts and believes it as if it's actually true, regardless of the validity of that opinion or statement. And a lot of times people will think, oh, you have to be really suggestible or susceptible or open to taking suggestions in hypnosis. But the truth is that at the end of the day, we're all suggestible and we're constantly taking suggestions all the time. The people that think they're not suggestible are simply just suggestible to being not suggestible. It's suggestible to the negative things. But most of us tend to get hypnotized by our own doubts or limitations. We choose to let the beliefs that we can't do something dictate our life. Whether or not it's actually true is irregardless. If we think that we can't, we're not going to do it. And we hypnotize ourselves to create a reality outside of the true or falseness of that statement or that truth or principle. But when we believe something as if it's true, we act as if it is. And I sort of, not really manipulate, but take advantage of this fact when I do my shows and I do stage hypnosis shows or when I do street hypnosis performances and make viral videos online where I'll get people into a hypnotized state where the beliefs or the suggestions that I give them literally get to the point where I'm hypnotizing them to think that they've forgotten their own name or that I've become invisible. Or my favorite one to do is always having them think that I turn into their favorite celebrity. And then you have college student, freshman or high school college student freaking out. Oh my gosh, you're Beyonce, and flipping out because they're meeting their idol or whatever it is. And it's not that they're faking their reactions. You watch some of the videos of the stuff I do. This is beyond what people could fake, but they are literally having an experience in reality of what it would be like if they were actually living it. Because you could pretend you're like, I'm Beyonce and you're talking to Beyonce right now, but there's still sort of this voice in the back of your mind that knows it's not really true. Okay, yeah, I'm just talking to Zach, the hypnotist. It's not really Beyonce. But if you are totally convinced that I am Beyonce, you would have that real experience and you'd be acting accordingly and talking accordingly and your mind would create that belief as if it really happened. So when I get people into a hypnotized state, I'll often do it for the fun, entertaining suggestion or ideas, since that's my full-time job as a full-time hypnotist. I do the college circuit and I tour around the country performing shows for different college campuses, high schools, middle school, wherever books me for a show. But then I use that ability of showing people how they can use their mind and say, look, if your mind's powerful enough that you could believe that I'm invisible, that I'm a celebrity, that any of these crazy wild things are happening, how else could you use your mind to take it your own advantage to become more confident, to overcome a fear and addiction, to break through depression, anxiety, literally anything that's standing in your way of being the person you want to be is possible. Not because as a hypnotist, I control you or have this power that I manipulate you, but as a hypnotist, I help you to tap into the power that's already there because every single human being has a brain. That brain has the same capability to process and create beliefs based on the way that we either hypnotize ourselves or get hypnotized by others, other ideas, the media, culture, other people's opinions. And oftentimes we tend to let our own negative self-defeating opinions be the ones that we listen to. And that's why so many of us settle and never achieve the life that we want, not because we're not capable, not because we're not able, but because we let ourselves be hypnotized by our own limitations.
Friends, I need you to rewind all that and re-listen to that real quick. That's fire, man. So good. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I turned 24 this year.
Okay. 24 years old. At what point did you say, you know what? I think I have a gift.
So, and here's one of the craziest parts about my whole story is I started learning hypnosis 2 years ago.
Shut up.
2 years ago. It was my senior year of college. I got into it initially because I had learned magic. I learned sleight of hand and card tricks just for fun as a hobby. And the more I got into it, the more I loved performing and entertaining and started getting into more types of performance, whether it was stand-up comedy, improv comedy, and eventually decided, you know what, I'm going to teach myself hypnosis because if I can learn magic, why not learn hypnosis? So literally 2 years ago, my senior year of college, picked up some books, some DVDs, and I started learning it. Literally, I started by picking up one DVD. I said, I'm going to watch this DVD. I'm going to finish it by the end of the week. And by the end of the week, I will have hypnotized somebody. I had no idea if it was going to work, if it was real, if that, like, how I was going to make it happen. But I said, nope, I'm going to do this. Got the DVD. I finished it. Friday, I went out. Total strangers in one of my student union buildings on campus. Walked around, said, hey, I've been learning hypnosis. Can I hypnotize you? First couple times, nothing happened. Complete failure. I look like an idiot saying I knew hypnosis and nothing happened. And I was with another friend of mine who I'd been doing some street magic with when I'd done magic beforehand. And after a few just embarrassing failures, he was kind of like, hey, you want to stick to the magic or stick to the stuff that you know or that you know that you're good at? I said, no, I'm going to hypnotize somebody. I'm going to make it happen. And it was about probably the fifth or sixth person got some things worked, not fully completely, but a few things worked that for me was a win. I said, I did it. I hypnotized somebody. I was successful. And from there, continuing to learn and grow and read more books and consume more DVDs and practice when I could. Unlike magic, where I could just practice in my room with a deck of cards as much as I wanted until I could go perform, the only way to practice hypnosis is by performing it, because you need people to hypnotize. Otherwise, you're not doing anything. And so I would do it as much as I could here and there. But after a few months, I was at a leadership camp I was at a part of before going into my last semester of college. And I would tell people at the retreat, I do magic, I do hypnosis. And of course, people were like, no way, you got to show me, you got to do some stuff. That'd be awesome. And so enough people said that, all right, at the end of one of the nights, I'm going to do a full show. So anyone that wants to come check it out and see it, like, we'll have some fun. Now, I didn't tell them I'd never done a full show before. I left that part out. I said, yeah, we'll try. We'll see how it goes. And the entire retreat shows up for it. So all 60 students that were there, like, yeah, hypnosis show, let's go. So I said, all right, well, let's do this. And long story short, I ended up doing an entire 80-minute show, awesome hypnotized volunteers, and it was a ton of fun. Everybody loved it. It went super well. People were giving me such good feedback, saying, well, that was better than paid hypnotists that I've seen. That was so good. That was the best show I'd ever seen. That was amazing. And for me, that gave me a ton of confidence, thinking, look, it was 3 months into learning. And if I'm already at the point where I can do a show like that, why not take this seriously? I was a communication major at the time, getting ready to graduate without a specific trajectory into where I wanted to go after graduation. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to be a full-time hypnotist when I graduate. And I don't know if it's realistic, if it's going to work out, how I'm going to make this happen. I have no idea, but you know what? If I don't try, I'll never know. So I said, I'm going to do this. And I committed to being a full-time hypnotist. I started working with another professional hypnotist over the course of my last semester, did a bunch of free shows in the residence halls on campus, performed in 17 out of the 22 dorms on campus, reaching out saying, I'm going to be a hypnotist. I'll do a free show in your dorm. And of course, as a dorm director, free entertainment, of course, bring you in. And the first few shows I did were terrible, awful, not great at all. But the more shows I did, the better I got and learned from my own experience, learned from all those failures. And as soon as I graduated, literally the day I graduated, the morning I had commencement, cap and gown and everything. And at night, I started my certification through the National Guild of Hypnotists to become certified hypnotist. And I jumped right into being a full-time hypnotist. No idea how it was going to work out. No idea how I was going to do it. I said, you know what? I'm going to make this happen. And I started out getting into doing shows with this, you know, idea that when you're breaking into anything new, especially in a job, you need to have experience to get hired, get that experience unless you get hired. And it's this weird dichotomy of starting anything new. So I said, you know what? I'm going to make my own shows. I'm going to create my own social proof. So that's when I started doing street hypnosis, where I'd literally walk up to strangers wearing a shirt that says professional hypnotist on it, and go to the beach, to the park, downtown, walk up to people, say, I'm a hypnotist. Do you want to be hypnotized? Of course, most people said no, because it's a really weird thing for a stranger to come up to you and ask that. But for the few that said yes, I'd have a friend that was with me that would film it, and I'd put videos up on YouTube and started creating social proof of what I was able to do as a hypnotist. And not only did that create content, that allowed me to grow and become extremely good at what I did, because rather than doing a show where I could cherry pick from the best 50, 100 people in the audience, I walk up to one person, it's hypnotizing them or nobody. And I got to figure out a way to make it work for them in that time. And so as I did it, I started getting content, started getting better at what I did. And after several videos, I finally had a video that went viral and blew up and had like 2 million views in the first month or something like that. It's got close to 10 million views now after about 9 months. But what people don't know is that was my 40-second video that I posted. Most people have this idea that, you know, I'll post one video and it'll blow up and go viral and I'll be famous. And I posted 5 videos, nothing happens, I give up. Me, I was doing it because I enjoyed it. I was having fun. I was getting better every time. And I just kept putting up content. Most of the videos, barely anyone was watching. Mostly just my friends and family. maybe a few strangers on the internet, but for the most part, no one was seeing my stuff. But I just continued to do it. And over 40 videos later, one finally big and got a lot of views, and that opened up some more opportunities towards now I'm represented by a college agency that books me shows. And the craziest thing for me is thinking about, I literally graduated college last year. Now this year I'm traveling around to colleges all around the country within a year. And it's been crazy and wild. And 2 years going from knowing nothing about hypnosis to literally being an authority in the industry now. I have other hypnotists who have been doing this for 5, 10, 20 years. And I'm like, how are you doing what you're doing? I was never taught that. I don't even know as a professional hypnotist how to do what you're doing. Teach me your ways. And so for me to go from knowing nothing 2 years ago to now being an expert in the industry has been really, really cool. And a cool testament to just my determination to make it happen and figure it out and be willing to learn from my failures. And
yep,
you know, here I am. But yep, even still 2 years in, this is only the beginning. There's still a lot of exciting things ahead. And
yes,
keep going. Only up from here.
Yes, yes. I want to highlight something you said, guys listening, that really he created his job for himself and he took initiative and put himself out there over and over and over and over again. You do not always need permission. Unless you're doing brain surgery, you do not need permission. He created this. And so congratulations to you. I think that's such a great example for all of us. Oh, I got so many questions for you. I'm just going to fire them out to you, because what I'm interested in is the psychological part of it, of you learned this. I was going into this conversation thinking this was a gift. Like, you came out of the womb and you're like, what up, nurse? And you're like changing everything. But you learned this. This is a skill set. I know you can't in a few minutes, but if you could break down what's actually happening and when you're honing your skill, what skill set are you honing exactly?
So really, and the sort of secret with hypnosis, when you're helping people to experience a state, which is different than most other things that you learn, is there's no specific technique that works for everybody. Right? With magic, when I learned a card trick, I could learn a sleight of hand move that if I master that technique, I could do that move over and over and over. And every time I do a trick, I do that move and I get the result. Hypnosis is not the same way. Hypnosis is, I might have one technique that is super effective on one person and deeply hypnotizes them, and I go and use that same technique on another person and nothing happens, nothing works. And then I might have the opposite. I do a different technique that worked for them that won't work for the other person. So one of the biggest skills that I had to learn, with especially through the repetition of performance, through all the shows that I've done, all the street hypnosis, walking up to strangers, is learning what's called calibration, is learning how to adapt to each person and understand what is going to fit and be the best technique and tool to use for them, where it's not like, hey, here's my one technique and I use it and it doesn't work, oh well. And in reality, that's what so many hypnotists do, is they'll learn one technique for doing it and they'll have their one technique that they use. And if they try to hypnotize you and it doesn't work, they'll blame you.
Is it energy? Are you feeling somebody's energy? Like, you feel their presence and you can like intuitively tell, is that what you're doing?
Well, that can be part of it, you know, reading their energy and their body language and understanding, also kind of gauging their openness or their resistance or their skepticism or lack of skepticism or where they're at in the process. And then even as I start the process, constantly making adjustments or adapting towards what I need to do to help get them there and help them experience the state. And so being able to understand and learn a whole variety of different tools and techniques. But I think one of the biggest things or the skills that I honed was the ability to really tap into what's really happening. Because the sad thing is that a lot of hypnotists will do hypnosis without understanding really what hypnosis does. Kind of like an electrician that could practice being an electrician without actually understanding electricity. I could plug things in and unplug them. I can be an electrician. But if you don't really understand what's happening behind the circuits, behind the wires, you're only going to go so far. So for me as a hypnotist, really trying to understand what's happening behind the circuits and the wires of our brain. And when I'm hypnotizing somebody, what exactly is taking place? What is causing them to shift the belief? What is causing them to have the reaction, the result, versus just, oh, I did my thing and then it worked, so it must be all good. So really me just digging deep into understanding that, which was probably more than just, oh, this is the one skill or technique that I'm learning, but really diving into that understanding. And the more I performed, every single time that I do hypnosis, even today, every single person I hypnotize, I always take something away from it. I always learn a new lesson, get a new insight, and take that and apply it to the next person, where I'm just constantly growing and improving and evolving as a hypnotist, becoming better and better. But it was just that repetition of doing so many performances. I often tell people the reason I'm so successful, especially so quickly, is because I've failed more than most have succeeded. Done so many performances, hypnotized so many people, being willing to fail and get it wrong so that I learn, Because for me, I've reframed failure in my mind that every time I fail, it's not failure. Failure is just not showing up. Failure is not trying. That's the only failure. But every time I do something and it doesn't go well, it's always a lesson. I always grow. I always get better. If it went perfectly every time, that'd be cool, but I'd never grow. I'd never improve. So every time that I fail, I'm like, great, I learned something. How can I take that and I apply it to the next time so that either I don't fail or I can do it faster or I can do it better, whatever it is. I'm constantly growing. So it's really, I guess, the skill of just repetition of performances. You know, there's a saying, repetition is the mother of all skill, right? But having that repetition to just continue to evolve and learn from all my experiences and take all of these little individual skills or techniques, put them together into this sort of toolbox that I've developed, where now if I work with somebody, I have all these tools at my exposure, an arsenal of tools to be able to use to help people to go into trance and experience hypnosis and shift their belief, whether it's for fun on stage or whether it's transformationally in a session to help them change their life, whatever it is, understanding all the tools it takes to help people create that change.
Is it weird being able to do this? Like, I would just imagine, you know, when you're not in that show state and you're just kind of with regular people, does your mind constantly just think about like, can I hypnotize them or like what state are they in? And because I know my mind would probably constantly be thinking that. And I don't know, just about with your regular social life, is it just, I'm assuming it's a lot different now than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah. When I started, it was probably more of that, like, oh, this is kind of cool. Or what am I learning? How could this work? You know, you kind of have the ability to distinguish and separate the performance and the what you do versus who you are type thing, right? A lot of people aren't necessarily thinking about their job when they're hanging out with their friends later. And so, I mean, I can make that distinction pretty easily where I'm going and I'm hanging out and I'm having fun and kind of leave the work-related stuff in the back where it used to be. And but if I am going out and performing or if I'm going around the streets doing street hypnosis or I'm in a show, then I'm all about like, right, who's going to be the best to hypnotize? What's going to be the best to technique to work or best way to use it? And then it's the constantly analyzing and trying to make things as effective as possible.
We're not professional hypnotists, nor will most people listening to this ever be. What are some key takeaways besides just understanding that our minds are powerful? Like, what are some applicable things we can do in our lives as leaders, as people who are wanting to make a difference through their work, to use some of these skill sets to hypnotize ourselves towards like success?
So, well, and a good example of that will be, I'll share a technique of how to eliminate any fear or phobia.
Hot dog. Awesome.
All right. There we go. If you're listening to this,
I'm excited.
Really valuable next few minutes for you to pay attention to. And this is a technique that I use to help people to eliminate all fear in their life. Because at the end of the day, all fear is really a story. It's a story that our mind tells us about what we're afraid of. So we'll use public speaking, for example, since that's the number one fear in the world, which is crazy to me. It's more terrifying than dying. People would rather be in the coffin than giving the eulogy, which is wild. But people that are afraid of public speaking, they have this story in their mind. They have this story in their mind that speaking means I'm going to be embarrassed. It's going to flop. People are going to laugh at me. They're going to judge me. It's going to be horrible. And when you have that idea in your mind of what the failure, the fear means, you're not going to want to do it. You're going to be afraid. You're going to create that anxiety. And in turn, that anxiety, that fear, creates a physiological response. You get the nervous hands, the butterflies, you start talking faster, breathing more rapidly because that fear, that story is in your mind causing you to focus on what outcome you expect. Versus for someone like me that loves public speaking, loves performing, loves being in front of crowds, when I go up to perform, I'm not thinking, oh, this is going to be awful. They're going to judge me. They're going to hate it. It's going to be horrible. I'm saying, I can't wait. I love this. I'm excited to perform. This is going to go so well. We're going to have so much fun. People are going to love it. And whether or not that's actually the case, because that wasn't the case the first couple of times that I failed, but when I had that story in my mind, I would go out and do it anyways. I'd take the action that I'd need to because I don't let the old story hypnotize me. And the idea is that when we think about anything that we're afraid of, it's just a story that we're afraid of. It's not the thing. Someone's afraid of spiders, for example, and there could be a spider behind them and they don't know and they're not afraid. Because they're not aware of it and it's not triggering the story. However, they could see the reflection or a shadow of a stick nearby and freak out because it looks like a spider. Even though there's no spider there, the story got triggered in their mind through seeing the shadow or reflection of the fear. But understand that it's not the actual thing they're afraid of. It's not the speaking. It's not the spider. It's not anything. It's the story. All it takes is shifting the story, telling yourself a different story, to get rid of the fear. Now, an example of this was I had girl after a show I did last week that talked to me about hypnosis and saying, hey, I had a really good fear of needles. Can hypnosis be used to get rid of a fear? I said, absolutely. And I asked her,
permanently?
Permanently. I asked her, I said, well, what do needles mean? Like, what's the meaning? What's the story that your mind has created about what needles mean to you? I said, it's like an invasion. Like, it just feels like just so intrusive and like invasion and just makes me feel all weird and gross. And I just can't deal with it. I said, of course, your mind's afraid of needles. If your mind thinks needles mean invasion, if that's the story your mind tells. It's going to be afraid every single time. I said, but what if needles weren't actually an invasion? What if it was helpful? What if it was giving you the medicine, the shots, the help that you need to get better? What if instead of an invasion, it was a welcome invasion? I asked her, what's the opposite of an invasion? She said, well, I guess a welcoming. So I said, if needles really meant a welcoming and not an invasion, what would there to be afraid of? And the look on her face just went, I'm ready to get my flu shot right now. That was literally the next words out of her mouth. And I said, have you gotten a flu shot before? She said, yes, but I've been terrified every single time. But I'm like ready to go, ready to get a shot right now. So because the story has now shifted in your mind. You used to tell yourself invasion, invasion, invasion. Oh my gosh, terrified. But when you shift, actually welcoming, welcome invasion, help. All right, I'm ready to go get some help. And then her mind shifted the story and got rid of the fear just like that. And so when we can understand the ways that we currently hypnotize ourselves, whether it's, you know, through listening to an audio or a tape, whatever it is, self-hypnosis beyond just that kind of self-hypnosis, but simply just the ideas we're feeding into our mind or that we're letting stay and ruminate in our mind that this idea means bad. So many people that don't want to or that hold themselves back from following their dreams, pursuing their passions, being the best person they can be in this world are because they fear judgment. They fear failures. They fear other people's opinions. And they let that judgment hypnotize themselves to not take action. Even though what's really true is most people aren't going to care what you do because they're too busy judging themselves to actually judge you. Ones that will judge you are really only coming from a place of insecurity because they didn't take the action that you're now able to take. That's the truth. But what we focus on, oh, they're going to judge me. They're going to hate me. They're going to make fun of me and I'm going to fail. That's not really true. But when we focus on it as if it is true, that's what causes us to take the action and it creates our reality. We create the result out of that lie that we're letting to hypnotize ourselves, whether it's coming from our friends, our family, what we are exposed to on social media or in movies or whatever it is. These false doubts, these false limitations that we let hypnotize us take over our life. They create our reality. So as a hypnotist, again, I don't control people. I give them back the control. Say, look, you have the control. Your mind is powerful enough to let yourself get hypnotized by the belief that you want. Even literally something as simple as using the phrase, I can, instead of I can't. Instead of I'll try, I'll find a way or I'll make a way, right? Little things like that. Words are highly hypnotic. At the end of the day, words are what I use to hypnotize people. I say words and they go into trance and they experience an idea or suggestion. So if it's really the technique is the words, I just know how to use the words in the right way to facilitate that experience in trance. We all use words. We all have language. Understanding using those words in a way that create the result that we want. Because if we're constantly ruminating and marinating and meditating in negative thoughts, my studies have shown 80% of our thoughts are negative. 80% of the thoughts we experience every day are negative. What are we hypnotizing ourselves to believe? We're not good enough. We're not capable enough, smart enough, good enough, pretty enough, capable enough, whatever. Yeah. Whether or not that's true doesn't matter. But if we believe it as if it's true, if we focus on that, that will be the experience and the reality we create for ourselves. And that's why so many people don't reach their full potential because they let themselves get hypnotized by their own doubts and limitations. So when you can take back the control and say, instead of letting myself be hypnotized, I'm going to hypnotize myself towards what I want, whether that's giving yourself positive affirmations, whether it's shifting your language, shifting what you focus on, changing the story in your mind, letting yourself be exposed to better thoughts and beliefs through social media, through events that you attend, through people you hang around. There are many different ways to do it. But letting yourself be aware of what's coming into your mind, because what goes into your mind is eventually what's going to be on display. Your beliefs will create your reality.
Yes. This is why I was so excited to talk to you. What you do is really cool and entertaining, but the deeper message of it is so empowering because if we can grab onto that as leaders, I mean, it's limitless really what we can create. And I know we're right at time. If you don't mind me asking one more question, as a child, what were you like? I mean, I just want to know, because you have a lot of wisdom and perspective that's come in, I'm assuming through this skill set you've developed. But I was just wondering, just kind of innately, what were you just kind of predispositioned as, even as a little boy?
Well, one of the cool parts about my story is I actually grew up homeschooled.
Me too.
Yay, homeschoolers.
Explains a lot, doesn't it?
Right. few and far between. But college was the first real public school that I attended. I was homeschooled from kindergarten through senior year of high school. And so growing up, I had an amazing education academically, but not very amazing education socially. And so I was very quiet, shy, introverted, socially awkward, if you will, kid growing up. And interestingly enough, going to college as a freshman, I initially enrolled as a computer science major. I wanted to be a programmer and sit behind a desk, and the less people I could be around, the better, because I didn't have those social skills. And then I graduated as a communication major and a professional hypnotist performing in front of audiences for a living. So literally having that 180, I actually have a book that I have written and I'm working on getting published now called Homeschooled the Hypnotist, My Journey from Socially Awkward to Awkwardly Social.
That's awesome.
Looking at that transition of how I went from super shy, quiet kid to super confident master hypnotist. Yes. In a matter of years. And so for me, when I think about what I was like as a kid, to answer your original question, nothing at all like I'm at now. Like you referred to earlier on, I created the person that I am now, because our past doesn't define us, only the story we tell ourselves about what the past means. If we let our past be a limitation, we'll stay limited. If you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them. But if you argue for your possibilities, you get to create them. Because at the end of the day, the only person that you're destined to become is the person that you decide to be. So for you, for me, for anybody listening, who do you want to be? What's the decision that you're going to make about your life, whether you're 24 like I am, whether you're older, younger, whether you're however many years you have left on this earth, you have time to decide who you want to be, and you get to create it. That's the beautiful thing about this life, is there's no, we have free will. There's no predestination of, oh, you're stuck in this thing that you hate. You're stuck just getting by and just going through life. You get to create it. And if you're stuck and just getting by, that's something you're actively creating. So how can you shift into creating somebody that you want to be instead of somebody that you tolerate? Just because you're alive doesn't mean you're really living. So how can you shift into a state where you take advantage of the one life that you got here on this planet Earth and make the very most of it, take advantage of person that you want to create yourself to become.
That's it. That's it. Zach, where can people connect with you online? You are everywhere right now, but if they want to watch you in action, grab the book. You have a website. Where can people find you?
So I'm mostly on social media right now. The unique thing about having a unique last name is that all my social media can be the same. I was able to get my name on all the platforms. So it's just Zach Pincince, ZachPincince. If you look up Zach Hypnotist or Hypnotist Zach, I'm sure I'll pop up. I'm pretty sure I'm the only hypnotist Zach that's out there anyways. All right, good. So on YouTube, on Instagram, TikTok especially, pulling up to 1.5 million followers on that in a couple months. It's been wild. If you're not using TikTok, make sure that you are on that platform, because the engagement there is unlike anything that we've seen in social media history. Like, that you can go from having no followers and no views to 1 million views overnight by putting out a piece of content. Hey, strike where the iron's hot. Get on TikTok if you're not there. But I'm Zach Pincince on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. But ZachPincince.com, I'll pop up too. So that's my name. That's where you find me.
And it's just the beginning for you, friend. Very last question I ask all our guests. Let's say you were to go back in time to this young, introverted, shy, socially awkward Zach before you discovered, I'm going to call it a gift because it is naturally a gift too for you. And you were to go and sit with him. He had no idea what his life was about to turn into. No clue. And tell him one thing. What would that be?
I have a lot of ideas of things that I might say, but I'm just going to say the first one that popped into my mind is keep moving forward. So many of us get discouraged, or we get impatient, or it's not happening yet, or I'm not who I want to be yet, but keep moving forward. No, I think it's originally a Walt Disney quote, is one of his favorites, is we keep moving forward, we keep progressing in the right direction, keep climbing up the mountain. Yeah, you might have to go up and down here and there, but if you keep climbing up, you keep heading in the right direction, that's the important part. So wherever you're at on the journey, don't compare yourself to somebody else's journey. That's why we so often get discouraged, is because you watch my videos and you'll see my step 20 and not see step 1 through 19 of where I was earlier in the journey. And you'll see, oh, I'm not like him, so I should get discouraged. Doesn't matter. You don't have to be great to start. That's the secret, but you have to start in order to be great. And so wherever you're at, keep moving forward. Whether you're at the bottom of the hill, you're close to the top, or you're halfway, or anywhere in between, keep moving forward. And that's it.
I want to give a big thank you to Zach once again for coming on today's episode. You can connect with him at impactentertainer.com or again at Zach Pinsent everywhere on social. And again, if you have not done so yet, connect with our thriving tribe over on Facebook. Type in unconventional leaders into the search bar, and we would love to have you a part of our community. All right, friends, I'll see you in our next episode.